jump in, he will.
It's the Skinny on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowan.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Cowan with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Wednesday morning out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. We got all kinds of things going on. What is going on in Cleveland? Deshaun Watson's disciplinary hearing is still going into today. Probably they're hoping to wrap that up today. So then what happens? How long will he be suspended? What happens to Baker? Does it even matter? Oh, by the way, Wyatt. There's a Wyatt Baker connection all of a sudden that I'll have to get into here in just a little bit. We started the Big 12 football discussion yesterday. We'll keep that going. Is there actually a favorite? You know, sometimes maybe there's not. Is there a favorite? And why maybe there's not is the best teams last year all have huge holes to fill, either on the sideline, on the field, both. So that brings us to, could it be? Is it possible this could be the year that Texas is really back and back in the hunt to be the league champ, or at least play in that game? And then who intrigues you? Who's an intriguing team or two in the Big 12 football coming up? Talk about that. NBA free agency, midnight tonight is when they can all start talking. I think the things don't become official until 5 p.m. tomorrow, but all that news will start leaking out. We'll have all kinds of things. We'll probably have breaking news as we do the show tomorrow with reports coming out of those late midnight meetings between teams and players. Is there anything to look for here in Oklahoma City? I think the major domino has got to be Kyrie Irving. He opted in, but what does that mean? Is he really going to play there? And if he gets traded, what does that mean for Kevin Durant and that Brooklyn franchise? And then, right here at the top of the show, you know, we like to talk about food. It's kind of a thing we don't mind discussing. Well, yesterday I got a notification on my app to Pizza Hut, and it was telling me that one of my favorite pizzas is back for a limited time only. The Edge pizza.
I gotta get. You are getting notifications from Pizza Hut?
Yes, I've got an app.
Well, I do too. I don't get. I guess I haven't opted in.
Maybe
that.
Haven't opted into the notifications. Oh yeah, hey, The Edge is back.
It's a good. It's a thin crust.
Thin crust. It's like every. Yes. It's The Edge. Like everything. Every piece has a crust because the way they cut it, it's like lengthways.
Right.
And so that got me to thinking. I don't know how much I miss The Edge, but now that it's back, it's like, all right, cool. And then I got to thinking, what other items at different places, at different food places, did you really like that went away, but they've never come back, that you'd like to see come back? And I've got a couple written down here on my list, and maybe that'll jog everybody's memory out there as well. 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call, choose us to text. We can talk about any of those things or whatever else might be on your mind. Feel free to chime in at 225-9698. If you're outside the listening area, a couple ways to stay in touch with the show. Log on to KADSAM.com or download the Paragon app. The app's got it all. Three radio stations. Got the Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News. Hit the website last night at midnight and at thepennynews.com. Be able to pick up a free copy of the print version of the Penny News coming up this afternoon in some locations by tomorrow morning at this time. 24 hours from now, you can get your hands on a free copy of the Penny News. Big Elk TV, Paragon TV are in that app as well during the high school sports season, which will be here before we know it, by the way. You will be able to check out live streaming of high school sports on Big Elk TV and Paragon TV also. Skinny on Sports podcast is available on iTunes and KADSAM.com. If you missed the show entirely, you can go back and hear what we had to say on a certain day. Hello, Jared.
How's your morning going?
Just fine. Got a nice, a pretty good night's sleep. The dog woke us up about, I don't know, 2:30 or 3, barking at who knows what. And and Kara actually got up and went out there and heard, you know, it's almost like a child, right? She was like, Rex, stop it.
We never know. Might have scared something away.
And as soon as the, I think, here's the deal, there are lots of cats in the neighborhood or next door. And I think that's, you know, he could probably see the cats or maybe deer moving. We have deer that kind of go across the lawn at different times. So, and it's about the same time every night right now. So there's like a pattern of at, you know, sometime between 2 and 3 a.m. where he just starts going nuts. And so, you know, like a child, I heard her say, stop it, Rex. And then as soon as the door shut, he barked again. You know, just like a kid not obeying the wishes of their parents. But finally he stopped and it was able to get back to sleep. But other than that, it was fine. How about you?
Well, it was another beautiful night. Took advantage, hung out outside and cooked some, since we're going to talk food. I was pleased with what me and my wife came up with for dinner. It was kind of on the spot, but we did barbecue chicken sandwiches. So barbecue chicken off the grill and corn on the cob. It was good.
Oh, man, we keep forgetting. We got some corn on the cob that's frozen in our freezer that we got to cook.
Yeah, and we wrapped it up, put it on the top shelf, you know, the grill, absolutely. Let it on there, and then did the chicken, and it was good, real good. I was pleased how well that turned out.
We had chicken as well.
It was just a beautiful evening.
It was nice.
Beautiful nice. Or night.
It was nice. We had some chicken legs. I found a new rub at that at the Champ Barbecue thing up there in Oklahoma City.
Right, right.
Oh, my gosh. It's the best chicken rub of all time. Yardbird.
Yard, what it's called. Okay.
I don't know if that's any sort of homage to Jim.
Does it taste like anything you can describe? Or
it's just a really good blend of spices and sugar and salt and some spices, and it's not hot, but there are certain times where you get a little bit of a spicy bite, I guess you could say.
It's all right.
But it's not overwhelming by any. It's just a really nice blend.
Well, good.
That works good with like smoky flavor too.
Yeah.
So, no, it's good stuff.
Good.
Speaking of food, so I saw that notification yesterday, I was
I gotta ask, do you get notifications from other restaurants?
Just Pizza Hut. Because that's the only app I have a restaurant app.
I used to have the McDonald's one, McDonald's app.
I didn't even know they had an app, but now if you go through there, they say, are you going to be using the app today? And I go, didn't know you had one.
Oh, it's actually kind of convenient. You could put in an order and, you know, at your McDonald's location, and it'll say what time it's ready or whatever, and you just pull into the parking spot.
Oh, really? And you don't have to go through the line.
And you pay for it right there in the app, and they bring it right to you.
Huh. I'll be darned. Well, anyways, I wonder why they're asking if you're going to use the app in the line then.
I don't know. It's weird. I don't know. But Pizza Hut's app is handy because you can build your pizza right there.
Yes.
Yeah, it's real handy.
It's awesome.
I guess I need to opt into the notifications. Let me know when certain products are coming back.
There's certain times. Yeah, I mean, it'll tell
specials,
you.
Specials, I guess.
It'll tell you like that was, hey, the Edge is back. And other times, there's always almost like a monthly thing where you can get to, hey, it's family bundle night or da-da-da, whatever it is. But anyway, last night's was the Edge is back. It's like, oh, man, I like that. I like that Edge. I have to try that. I'm going to have to get one of those at some point. And then it just got me to thinking about other things that have been around and then now they're not. And my number one is, and I've said this for, it jogged my memory, because my number one thing that I miss from almost childhood or what have you is from Pizza Hut.
Which is?
Bigfoot. Do you remember Bigfoot pizza?
Yeah, I remember
that. It was like super long and it was cut in squares.
Yep.
And you know, that was around the time that I was kind of junior high.
Yeah, I remember we used to get it for wrestling pay-per-views, me and my buddy.
Yeah, because it lasted for a long time. Yeah. So, you know, and it felt like the sauce was maybe just a little bit different, but probably not, just because it was different shape, and maybe there wasn't much of it on there. But that's I remember Bigfoot and being, you know, like the rectangles pieces instead of, you know, the pie-shaped pieces.
Yeah.
I loved Bigfoot. I loved it.
Yeah.
And it just kind of went away. I wonder if it went away because, you know, some of the of it was like too big. And so then you weren't being healthy because they were serving. And who knows?
Or they weren't charging enough and losing money on the deal.
Maybe that's what's happening. I'm sure Pat can tell us, or Steve definitely could. But that's the one, the number one that I think of every time I think, oh, man, you know what used to be good? Bigfoot. I loved Bigfoot.
Oh,
it was like a combination of, it wasn't thin crust, but it wasn't all the way to hand tossed either. So it was like right in between, like a, whatever you want to call it. It was called, well, they called it Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Any others?
I'm thinking of one that McDonald's used. Speaking of McDonald's that we were talking about earlier, was, you know, they have their chicken sandwiches, a wide variety of them. They used to have a buffalo chicken sandwich.
Yeah.
And I was devastated the day I pulled up and I ordered one. They said, sorry, we don't have that anymore.
You know, they go through different times of the year when McRib is available.
Sure.
But it's not available on a daily basis anymore.
No.
But it's not gone like forever.
No. But this, I think, is. I almost want to start getting chicken sandwiches with a side of buffalo sauce.
Because
they have those dipping sauces for your nuggets if you want. But, yeah, that... I'm stuck on McDonald's for some reason. They attempted to do a spicy chicken or a like hot wing style, I guess, nuggets. Remember those? They were hot and you dip in ranch. I thought they were really good.
See, that's one that I had, but it's back.
It is back?
Spicy nuggets from Wendy's.
Oh, okay. I guess then you go to Wendy's.
They
then.
Brought them back.
Okay. And speaking of chicken, KFC used to have, and they might still, I don't go to KFC enough, but like popcorn chicken.
Yeah. Popcorn chicken.
I remember, I was a kid, I don't know that it's there anymore. I almost cried when I was a kid, and we went there after church one Sunday, and I ordered popcorn chicken. Sorry, we don't have that anymore. I don't even know what else I want. I had no backup plan.
Just for the pure opulence of things, I've got one on KFC as well.
Okay.
You remember the Double Down?
The Double Down? No.
You don't remember that?
Was that the... sandwich that used chicken as
the buns, yes, and had cheese and bacon in the middle.
Yeah, darn, they don't have that anymore.
They don't have that. I think they changed the name to Heart Attack,
yeah,
and then took it off the menu. Here's one that I think everyone that ever went to this place can agree it needs to come back: is the Mexi Melt at Taco Bell.
I don't think I ever had that.
Oh no.
I don't think I ever have had that.
Oh, no.
Remind me what it is.
It's the Mexi Melt was like a...
It's like a Mexican pizza?
No, it's not that pizza. There's way too much made of that pizza. And they need the pizza's back, I guess. I'm seeing commercials about it being back. I'm needing the Mexi Melt to come back. It had like pico in the middle. Like a taco, kind of a taco-y with pico. Oh, it's so delicious. So delicious.
You know, an item I thought that was gone forever until you said, no, it's not. Back when Carl's Jr. was Hardee's, they had the hot ham and cheese, which was one of my favorite.
You may
as
not
a
supposed
kid.
To be telling this.
Well, it's gone forever, I guess.
No, it's not.
No, it's like a secret menu. We're letting the cat out of the bag, I assume.
Yeah, it's still there.
It's still there. There's a small one or a medium one or a large one or whatever. I remember... just recently taking my kid, my oldest Katie, I had her one day, and I said, let's go get lunch. And we went over there, and I said, listen, this place has a hot ham and cheese sandwich you're going to like. And she was kind of reluctant, and I got it. And then every time we drive by, she goes, Dad, can we get a hot ham and cheese?
Yeah, I think the smaller version of the two is more of what you remember.
Yeah, as a kid. Yeah.
As a kid, because it's smaller. And, you know, the thing about that was the cheese was so melted, it was almost like a sauce.
Yeah.
And that's the way the smaller one is now. The bigger one, it's delicious, but it's got more ham, and you don't quite get the same cheese to ham to bread ratio.
Yeah.
Because one of the cool things about that one, It was almost like the cheese would melt into the bun, and it wasn't soggy, but it was,
yeah, it was
like
great.
A cheesy bun taste, yeah, with the ham, no doubt. Yeah, but it's still there, even though you can't find it on the menu.
See, I thought it was such a delight when I saw you one day eating. I was like, where'd you get that? Just go over there and order it. That was a nice day for me to rediscover something from your childhood.
Yes, when Hardee's went to Carl's Jr., you're wondering.
Well, what's
here's one. Yeah. Speaking of that place, can you get the Frisco burger anymore?
I don't think so.
Can get a breakfast sandwich.
Yeah, I don't know. I think there are still Hardee's out there, but not,
oh yeah,
I
there
think
are.
It's a regional thing now.
There are,
but I don't know. I'd love to.
Because it always, the thing is, it tells you that even now at the Carl's Jr., but you're still getting Hardee's breakfast.
I'm going to Google Hardee's menu. Yeah, you're right. They say Hardee's breakfast. Mm-hmm.
I know you can get the Frisco breakfast sandwich because I've seen it on the menu. But I don't know about the Frisco burger. I don't believe it's available.
You know, I'm looking at the Hardee's menu, and it's just the Carl's Jr. menu.
Yeah, it's same thing. Except the sign out front.
Right.
Here's one on the text line. Mexi Melts were great, 100%. And then also, this hits a little bit close to home for your hometown.
Dairy Queen?
No.
What?
Del Rancho.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yep, miss me some Del Rancho. That was a good place.
Here's one on the text line. The Monte Cristo at Bennigan's.
What is that? You got to remind me what that is.
The Monte Cristo sandwich. It's like fried peanut butter and jelly.
Oh.
It's like a raspberry jelly. Sometimes they put like powdered sugar and ham. There's ham too. Bunch of ways to make it, but it's like fried goodness.
Yeah.
Sometimes they put mayonnaise in it when you don't want them to. Notice that.
Gotta tell them hold the mayo.
Yeah. This is showing to make it with ham and cheese. Is there egg? This is like a breakfast one. Seen it with peanut butter and jelly. Like French toast almost, or jam. Yeah, here you go. Raspberry dipping sauce. I knew it was raspberry, like jam. I had one at, not too long ago. There you go.
That's true.
My grandpa used to tell me that you ain't a man until you can eat the steak sandwich supreme by yourself. That's awesome. And maybe it's true to that.
I mentioned Dairy Queen. Dairy Queen, over when it was at Clinton, at a certain time, was the best burger in town.
It was different. It was different. Burger King or Dairy Queen that you could go to. It was because it was like. Not the corporate dairy. It was like family owned Dairy Queen.
Yeah, it was the best. And then you got yourself a dip cone afterwards. Yeah. Yep, good times. I can't think of any other kind of food that's gone and that I want to come back. To put some thought into that. It might hit me later when I get hungry.
Yeah, I just... the two for me that are way ahead of everything else is the Bigfoot Pizza... and the Mexi Melt. I can't believe you never had a Mexi Melt.
Nope, never have.
Man. And the cool thing is, back in the day, it was like they were almost like cheaper than the tacos, and they were way better. So it was like a double whammy on, but for good and not for evil, like it is on that show. Any love for the potato cakes out at Arby's? I kind of like those too. Something my dad always liked. He really liked those.
Yeah.
I think it reminded him. It was like a dinner option for the hash brown at McDonald's. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
When you couldn't get breakfast all day.
Yeah.
It was kind of like, oh, you know what? I want one of those. Best option. Let's go to there. try that out. All right, NBA free agency, midnight tonight. This is always kind of funny how they, there's all kinds of crazy stories about how teams have approached this and met with different players at midnight and all that. But it really is a thing. You really do. This really happens. Like tonight at midnight, all across the country, you're going to start seeing that these teams have met and have agreed on a contract. And all I can think of is, yeah, right. They've already met, and this midnight thing is a sham. But it's still kind of cool when you hear the stories. The Thunder, I don't know really much of what they're going to be involved in. I know there's a couple of guys, Isaiah Roby and Mike Muscala. The deadline to extend them is today. And so that could kind of give you a glimpse. I mean, at this point, the Thunder have 20 guys on the payroll for 15 spots. So somebody's got to go. I think Teo Maladon is a guy that's gone. I know even Sam Presti said Jim Michael Green, who they got in that trade from Denver, they're looking for a place that fits him, like to try to help him out and get to a team he'd like to be on and that kind of. So, you know, those two guys, Roby's a name that's been out there. It's, you know, it's weird because some of the players have mentioned him as like a guy that's staying around. He made a huge leap in three-point shooting last year for a bigger guy, from 27 to 44%. So that's, man, is that intriguing enough to keep him around and see what you got? Is it more 27 or more 44? Or is it just, you know, sorry, bud, you're kind of a casualty of this with drafting all four of those guys like they did last week in the draft?
Yeah, there's going to be that. Every time we hit free agency, people, you know, Thunder fans, we look around and go, what are Thunder going to do to acquire anybody? I don't think that's really happening this year. I think it's what you're talking about, a lot of movement, because we got to you're right. I mean, you can only have so many. So I think we're going to see, we're going to see a lot of deals not be made, I guess, and having to cut ties with some of these guys. So it's not going to be a very eventful. I mean, the Thunder's offseason was last week. When building this team, not in free agency. That's not going to happen. So don't get excited if you're a Thunder fan of thinking, well, this guy could come here and it could help this team. That's not happening this year. It might happen as early as next summer, maybe in two summers, when we get a real good idea of what these guys are and what they need. But we don't know that yet. So we're going to see a lot of guys go.
Yeah, and it's always fun to talk about in other years, but realistically, it's never even been a thing. You know what, Patrick Patterson was the most notable free agent signing the Thunder's ever made. Kyle Singler, everybody thought that was a good deal until he couldn't shoot. You know, but that's the kind of guys that they've been able to attract, which means, like you just said, free agency for Oklahoma City comes through the draft and comes through trades, because quite frankly, those are the ways that the Thunder can make people come play for them. In free agency, they have to want to, and that's never been a very key element of building any of the good teams that Sam Presti has built over the past decade. It just hasn't, and part of that is the city. And there's just nothing you can do about that.
It's the location, small market.
That's right. It's not a free agent destination, or hasn't been to this point.
And Oklahoma City is not the only, if some people think we're just knocking Oklahoma City of not being a destination place to play, it's not. A lot of markets are dealing with this. Look at Milwaukee. You know, they've built mainly from the draft and trades, trying to think of who has opted to go there. And none notable names come to mind.
Yeah, not a ton.
Not a ton. I mean, that's a small market thing, and credit Sam Presti for continuing to build. And what he's doing now is building a winning franchise. You know, definitely, we hope going forward. And you never know, though. I mean, but the other thing about Oklahoma City, the Oklahoma City Thunder, is that they have always been a place that looked at, like, that's a great place to go play to develop, and they develop players well. They have a winning culture. So it's not like it's a place where say, man, don't go there because it's Oklahoma City. It's a flyover state, and there's nothing to do, and you're going to lose a lot. Those who know look at Oklahoma City and go, that's not a bad place to land because you're going to be in a great franchise that's going to develop you as a player. So, but what I'm saying is you never know with these guys that are drafted, the guys are there, SGA, Giddey, and now Holmgren and the Williams. It might be a place, you never know. There might be a guy go, you know what, I want to go play there because those guys are up and coming.
Yeah, I mean, you know, or I believe it when I see it.
Could be a guy that, you know, it's on the last leg of his career.
I think that guy is way more, once the team is good again, if the team is good again. That's
a lot
the
Derek
guys.
Fisher. I know Derek Fisher wasn't a free agency guy, but he was. I think he had a choice, didn't he?
Well, yeah, he was bought out.
Right.
So he essentially was a free agent.
Well, it wasn't like on the midnight free agent.
No. It was during the season.
Right.
But he did have it. He could go anywhere he wanted to, and he chose. I mean, but that's the guys. That seems like the guys that are. That are really available, unless there's some, you know, a Blake Griffin back in the day or a Trey Young or so, that has certain ties to the area that are just specific to that one person and not the rest of the league. But here's the truth: you talked about it, it's not just Oklahoma City. I mean, every single guy that's ever mentioned. I mean, there's like eight places. That are ever, it's Miami, it's both LAs, it's New York, it's the Nets, Boston maybe. You know, it's not like all these guys are going to a bunch of different locations through free agency. They all seem to be going the same places. And I'd rather Oklahoma City be in the situation they're in today than like the Knicks. The Knicks are clearing space for Jalen Brunson. Who the hell knew who he was before 2 months ago because he had a good playoff series? Now they're going to pay him $120 million, $110 million for 4 years. See, that's why the Knicks are terrible year after year after year.
They're so reactionary.
Because here's the deal. None of the big-time guys that they try to clear space for ever go there.
Right.
I mean, every time Durant's been in this situation, it's Knicks. Every time LeBron's been in the situation, it's, oh, the Knicks are clearing space. Oh, the Knicks are getting ready for Giannis. Oh, guess what? Giannis stayed with Milwaukee. You know, they get shunned every time. The only guy that ever wanted to go there was Amari Stoudemire, and he had the thing rolling, and then they trade everybody away to get Carmelo, and it blows up in their face. So I would much rather be in this situation than signing dudes that you know as the ink on the contract is drying. You know, my Lord, we overpaid for that guy. He's not that good. I would so much rather be in the other situation. But another guy that really kind of has, in a lot of ways, has the league in next year and in the couple years after that, the fate of a lot of teams in his hands right now is Kyrie Irving. And I guess there was some serious, serious consideration before yesterday, or maybe it was Monday, but of him not picking up his player option that's worth $37 million with Brooklyn and taking the mid-level exception that the Lakers could offer at six-something. There was serious consideration of him doing that. And then finally he realized the earth is round, and that's $31 million you're leaving on the table. And so he opted into his player option with Brooklyn. I don't necessarily think that means, hey, the Nets are getting the band back together this year. I think it's just a step that he thought, finally, cooler heads prevailed in his own mind to realize, my gosh, I have got to sign this player option so that I'm not forfeiting $30 million.
Yeah.
But I don't think that means he's gung-ho about playing in Brooklyn again.
No, the C's haven't settled yet. I think there's still something going on there in Brooklyn.
But who wants him? That's the
problem. That's the thing. I think he kind of saw that too, realized, nobody wants me. Nobody of note wants me. You know, I'm sure there are teams like a Sacramento or a, I don't know, Minnesota who would take him, but he doesn't want to be there.
I don't know if Minnesota would take him.
Well,
they're too good.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. They made the playoffs.
We're not used to them being good.
And had a parade. I I think that's part of why he's like, oh, I got to stay put. But he sent, you know, I don't know. It's not done in Brooklyn. And, you know, does Durant want to stay there? Does he want to go somewhere else?
Yeah, that's the, I mean, the domino effect to Irving, if he wouldn't have picked up that player option, the domino effect would have been outrageous. Because at that point, you would assume Durant's going, nope, I'm out of here, trade me. And then what in the world would it take to trade for Kevin Durant? I mean, I can't even imagine the trade package that you'd had to put together to entice the Nets to get rid of KD. So that's something to monitor. I don't know if I would sit here and tell you, yep, that something's going to happen before the season starts with Kyrie. But I think I would feel pretty comfortable if you asked me, will he be on the Nets roster by the end of the season? I would say no. Whether it be before the season, which I think is less likely, but maybe a trade deadline type thing, just to give him time to be able to play every game first off, and we're not sure he even wants to do that.
Right.
But also give the Nets time to actually see what that looks like. What happens if Ben Simmons comes back and he can play and he wants to play and he's, you know, his mind is clear. Joe Harris is a guy that didn't get any time. He got hurt, had surgery. You know, he's a guy that shoots mid-40s from three. And it's just a perfect – and that's the thing about that trade, at the last trade deadline that Brooklyn made to ship out Harden and bring in Simmons. From a basketball perspective, Ben Simmons fits way better with what they've got. But he's got to play, and he's got to want to play. And now you've got Kyrie. I mean, it's just – has there ever been a big three that has been weirder as people than what you've got with those three?
That's why they're a mess to me. It's been nothing but basketball with those guys. You know what I mean? There's been the Kyrie stuff and not wanting to play. Of course, you mentioned Simmons and what he's dealing with. And Durant is so, I don't know, paranoid.
Yeah.
Is that a word that we can use with him? It's been everything but basketball in Brooklyn. Is Brooklyn a mess with those three? Or is it we don't know yet?
I don't know that we can blame it on Brooklyn. They're just the location, right? I mean, because anybody was going to take those guys. You know, when Kyrie and KD decide that they're going to team up.
Yeah.
Anybody's saying yes to that.
Sure.
Except maybe Golden State and maybe Miami, because they're the way they're run. But anybody else is going to. And then they'll go, oh, we'll figure it out. Well, then Harden wants to play with them. And that doesn't – what was the stat? Like, they played together like 14 games in a year and a half?
Yeah.
Just almost so none.
We don't know.
You never even got to see what that was.
Right.
And you, and especially in the playoffs, you never got to see what it was.
No.
And maybe for the second straight time, you don't get to see what this is either.
The what if? I mean, what if they were 100% about basketball and they could be a dominant team? But
man, Simmons makes a lot of sense there with what else they got on that roster. But if he don't want to play, and Kyrie doesn't want to play, then KD's going to go somewhere else. Turn our attention now to the Big 12 and college football. It's an interesting year in the Big 12. Is this the last year of the current iteration of the Big 12? The answer to that is obviously yes, because you know the other teams that are coming in. The question is, will this be back to the Big 12 and the number be right, or will it be the Big 12 with 14 teams? I think that's the one thing that's kind of always a cloud hanging over some of these teams, even as this year starts and as this year progresses.
Meaning, following around OU and Texas, will this be the last year? Will this be the last time these two teams play for a long time? And
that
was there last year too, I guess.
I think it's that. I also think it's I think there's a bunch of pressure on a couple of the teams that are staying to try to kind of be king of the hill when everybody else comes in.
I can see that.
And OU, Texas are gone.
Right.
And obviously Oklahoma State is right there at the top of that list. So, you know, not necessarily the cloud, but I think that's the extra little pressure that's there on Mike Gundy and the Cowboys. I think you could say the same thing for Dave Aranda and Baylor because of kind of the last, you know, they went through the Art Briles riding high. It's kind of up and down with, you know, Matt Rhule was terrible, then Matt Rhule was good, then he left, and David Aranda was terrible, now he's good. You know, can that be sustained? You know, and he obviously was, if reporting is right, you know, he could have had almost any job that was open.
Right.
In the early part of the spring, and he said no to all of them, believing in what was going on there. So, you know, those guys can what's TCU like post Gary Patterson? Is that just a one trick pony there? You know, that's for these, and then of course the Iowa State situation. The coach is still there, but where are the players are gone, some of them anyway, and the real key contributors. So for the teams that know they're going to be here, I think there's that jockeying for position of who is where in the hierarchy when BYU and Cincinnati and Houston and UCF come into the conference.
It's like an office building where Texas and Oklahoma had the nice corner office with the great view of the park, and now everyone's looking around going, who's going to get their office now that they're gone? And we don't know who.
We don't.
It could be anybody, and there's a good opportunity for all those teams that you mentioned. And then the guys coming in, you know, like BYU, Cincinnati, I mean, they're going to come in and go, we're just as worthy for that corner office than you guys are.
Yeah, Cincinnati's going, look at me. I'm the only one that's played in the playoff.
Yeah, and that's a good point. And BYU has that history behind them and a heck of a following with their fan base, and now they're in a big conference, and they want to prove that they're worthy too. And they have some notable wins. I mean, remember the OU win? They've beaten some.
Oh, they've won a national title.
Well, I mean, like recently in the last.
Didn't they?
Like 80.
Yeah, 1984.
Yeah. Yeah, but they do come in with the national title. I guess it's something to hang your hat on.
Well, who else has?
Yeah, albeit back in the 80s, but well, Oklahoma State has one.
No, they don't. No, they don't. The TCU win one back in the 30s?
Their big sign says they do.
50s or something? I'm dead serious about this. Is the conference going to be is just one team going to have ever won the title? And think about the old Big 12 versus the new Big 12.
The old, say, the
original. Talk about the original one.
Oh, we're going back with Nebraska and Missouri.
Nebraska, Colorado. The team, you know, half the league had won a title in that league. Now you got one, two. I think TCU has an old one. So you're talking
you'll
about
get
two
a wide array of answers if you Google it, because you'll have some.
I'm
that
talking
claim
about
them
AP title.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. But anyway, and so quite frankly, it's all up in the air because you're right. The most recent one was 1984. No matter if anybody else has one or not, that's the most recent. For who's going to be left in this league? Now UCF will tell you they had one in 2017 or 18, but they're wrong too. They didn't really win one. Because Alabama did. But you know what I'm saying? That makes that even more intriguing to me and more up in the air as to who is going to be, at least to start, who's going to be the big dog in that new league.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting. And it might change the way teams approach recruiting. You know, and that can go to a potential recruit's home and go, I mean, is this a way that they're going to do it? OU and Texas are gone. If you come here, we got a chance to dominate this league now. So could you see a shift in recruiting in that aspect? Or a change in regional recruiting? See more Big 12 teams that are staying going to the state of Ohio? Hey, Johnny comes play over here.
Yeah, obviously Florida.
You see what I'm saying?
Sure.
Yeah, West Coast, they'll go over there. Provo.
Yeah, I mean we'll get to Florida once every 2 years.
Right.
Guaranteed or what have you. Yeah, 1938 for TCU, an AP title. That's what I thought.
That's forever ago.
Yeah. What about this year specifically though? Do you think there is a favorite going into the Big 12 season?
Not a heavy favorite. Now Vegas will tell you one team over the others, but I would say there are about three teams that are capable. 3.5 teams.
Yeah, I think there's 3.5. More than 5. That.
You think there's more teams?
Mm-hmm. That could? Because I don't think there's a favorite. I don't think anybody – there's nobody – like I put on there, there's nobody that was good last year or everybody that was good last year has tons of question marks.
Right.
With Oklahoma, with Oklahoma State, with Baylor, Iowa State was better than what their record was, I think. When you look at the way they lost some of those games, they were a better team than what their record indicated. But all four of those have massive, massive question marks, massive holes to fill.
I mean, even throw TCU in there with the new head coach. You mentioned that earlier.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't any good, but they're a team that has been at
they're
times
pretty
good.
They're a team you better
good.
Be ready for, yeah.
And so as you start to look at, okay, Oklahoma State, quarter the offense should be great. Running back, you'd feel like they could probably plug that hole with pretty easily. Because we were talking about running back last year with them, and they turned out to be really good with Jalen Warren. So who's that going to be? Is it a new guy? Is it you know, a freshman? I know there's different options there. But when running back is kind of your hole on offense, I feel like you're in pretty good shape. But they've got the Spencer Sanders question mark. Who is he? Who's he going to be? Is he just going to continue to be this kind of pariah from game to game where you don't know? Where he's good enough to beat everybody and he's good enough to lose to everybody. And then on defense, man, I can't get it out of my mind that the entire middle of the field is gone.
Yeah.
From Antoine to Jernigan at defensive tackles. Then you don't have Rodriguez and Harper. Then you're looking at the safety position with Harvell Peel and his name just flew right out of my head. Anyway, McAllister, he's gone. He went to Ohio State. Bernard Converse went down to LSU. There's a lot missing on that defense. Now, there's about, you know, the edge rushers are going to be as good as anybody in the league with Trace Ford coming back and obviously what Oliver did as a freshman. Trace Martin's still there too. Or Brock Martin, not Trace. Trace is on the Wyatt's baseball team. Brock Martin, rushing the passer. You know, so that's, and I think I think when the poll comes out, Big 12 Media Days are what, 2 weeks. I think Oklahoma State's going to be tabbed as the favorite because of what they have coming back on offense. Look at OU, new quarterback, new head coach, new coaching staff essentially to try to lead them to where they want to go. Lost the key contributors off what was a little bit of a disappointing defense. But guys that were good enough to be drafted to play in the NFL along that defensive line, how much depth was there really? And is there star depth coming back? You know, are guys like Deshaun White, Stutzman, are they ever going to really figure it out and be good or just you hope they're going to be good? I actually think for the first time in a while, Oklahoma's secondary is probably one of their strengths on the team with what they have at corner with Woody Washington especially. I think we're going to see how good – he can be if he can play be healthy all year. And then on the offensive side of the ball, O-line, disappointing last year. Gave up way too many sacks. Can they figure it out? Losing Kennedy Brooks is a loss. Can Gray be the guy? Can some of the freshmen be the guy? And then receivers, they lost some. They kept some. You know, Marvin Mims, probably the best one of that group that's still there. So there's lots of things for OU, too, I think, that have to be answered. And what does it look like with Brent Venables as the head coach?
Well, I think a lot of question marks on both sides. I'm going to be more interested in that defense because of Brent Venables being the head coach, obviously a defensive guru, to see what kind of iteration we're going to get on the defensive side and quite frankly, if that passion that he brings on the sideline, if that creeps over into his defensive unit. And you've seen that time and time again wherever he goes, that is the case. So,
but how long does it take?
Yeah.
Does it happen after the Sooners are 4-3? You know, in a couple of losses in the league that gets them out of it? Because I don't think there's any doubt that defense is going to look better by the end of the year than it ever was at any point in the Alex Grinch era. Venables is that good. But how long does it take to look that good, I think, is one of the things for OU.
I think he's trying to bridge that gap with some guys he's brought in through the transfer portal. I'm sure you've read it by now. this guy really raves about TD Roof. I asked you off air, did he hire his dad just to get him on campus because he saw something that he likes, that he knows this guy is going to help us be better defensively immediately?
I mean, he played at Appalachian State. I'm not saying that as negative as that sounded, but it's almost like, golly, if your hopes and dreams of a improved defense are pinned on a undersized dude from Appalachian State, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? Just being honest.
Well,
about the way that is.
Yeah.
And that, but
in
who
all
knows?
Fairness,
he may be awesome.
A lot of people said, you got a quarterback from Snow College, what?
Yeah, I mean.
This is the guy?
A long time ago.
But my point is, he just might see something, this guy, to help bridge that gap until, because he's already, you know, hitting the recruiting trail, obviously. But those aren't immediate impacts. Not every kid's a special immediate impact once they get on campus. So he's looking for that bridge. So he's brought in a lot of guys on both sides of the ball, really. But, you know, TD Roof stands out to me. But it doesn't stand out to me. Stands out to a couple of other people, including this guy on ESPN. So that's something I'm going to look at.
Iowa State, you know, the names that we've gotten so used to, especially offensively there, are gone. Kolar, Purdy, Breece Hall. But, you know, we saw Hunter Deckers here come in and lead a touchdown drive against Oklahoma in that comeback that fell just short for Iowa State. Xavier Hutchinson is electric as a receiver. And they're one of those that I feel like they're going to get the benefit of the doubt on defense because of how good they've been. And they've been doing it without guys that are overly highly rated on the recruiting trail. So it's hard for me to think, oh, Iowa State's going to take a big old step backwards defensively because they lost this guy, this guy. Well, they didn't have, you know, you didn't know those guys until they made plays in college because nobody's recruiting them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I kind of give them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt there defensively. And then Baylor, man, they lost a ton as well off that defense. So that sets up the question. With the losses and the holes to fill everywhere else, the one team that didn't have a ton of those was Texas. And actually gain, by a lot of people's estimation, with Casey Thompson going to Nebraska and Quinn Ewers coming down from Ohio State. Could this actually be the time where Texas is back?
I'm kind of like Jim when this question's asked, not just this certain question, but a question like this is, I got to see it to believe it. Show me. Show me you're back. I almost thought they were back after one half of the OU-Texas game last year, and then we all know what happened. I got to see it to believe it. So you can tell me that they got all these guys and they got this, you know, they finally got the right coach and they, you know, they got the running back, they got Worthy back, they got the quarterbacks that you mentioned. Show me, though, because how many times have we seen that scenario where they look like they have all the talent in the world or the more talented team going up against whoever they're playing, and then they'll lose Kansas. No reason for them to ever lose to Kansas. I don't care who's hurt. You just have to show me. And then I'll start to believe it. But until then, I just don't buy into it. And we hear this rhetoric every summer. And I'm quite frankly tired of it. And I want you to show me, Texas, that you're back. Quit telling me, show me.
Here's what's wild, man. You think back to their season last season. And it ended the way it ended. But with 5 minutes to play in the second quarter down in Austin, Texas was ahead of Oklahoma State 17-3 and down at about the OSU 20, looking unstoppable.
Mm-hmm.
Unstoppable by the best defense in the league. And Jason Taylor steps in front of that pass and takes it all the way back the other way for a touchdown. And then Texas gets, like, what, one first down in the second? I mean, they got dominated from there. And Oklahoma State wins that game. And then, of course, you already mentioned in the Cotton Bowl. I mean, that it looked like one of the most embarrassing loss in Lincoln Riley's tenure. And all of a sudden, things completely flip around. So, you know, what's the difference in our thought process if those two games go the way that they started? Probably a lot. But guess what? They didn't. And we've kind of seen that in this run of mediocrity, or even worse, from UT. And I think you have every right to think that, because we've been told this year after year after year after year. And Lucy keeps moving the football on Charlie Brown, but people still keep falling for it. But I will say this. The one thing they have that they haven't had on this team is a really highly rated quarterback. So maybe he is the difference. We'll find out. They still gave up like 250 a game on the ground on the other side of the ball, and that's a whole different story. Who intrigues you outside of, say, the state schools, Texas and Baylor? Who intrigues you?
Who intrigues me coming up this season?
Mm-hmm.
I know I've said them over and over, but Kansas State does. I've always been a fan of their coach. They're kind of a team that kind of will fly under the radar, and they can get you if you're not ready. And then, you know, they bring in Taylor Martinez. I mentioned him yesterday, and I won't repeat it, but I think that's a team that's always intriguing. I think they got a heck of a coach, and I think he has a solid, I won't say better quarterback than what they've had, but a solid quarterback, and they still have Deuce Vaughn. Because you mentioned Iowa State. I almost want to say Iowa State.
That's who I'm going to say.
Because Campbell, but there's a lot of the unknowns. Kansas State still has Deuce Vaughn, has Martinez. They brought in Martinez. They intrigue me.
I'm going to say Iowa State, just because I think most people think they're going to take a giant step back because of the losses.
And I'll go on record and say I'm one of them.
I think we're going to see how good a coach Matt Campbell is. You know, I'm not, and maybe like being in the running to win the league is a bridge too far. But you know, stacking together winning seasons, of which has never happened at Iowa State, he's been doing that. You know, and so an 8-4 or a 9-3. Those are becoming a little bit more routine, or seemingly routine, for Iowa State. Those are things that are like anomalies at Iowa State in their history. And so maybe they don't intrigue me enough to win the league or be in that title game, but I think they're going to be way, way, way closer than anybody thinks right now. So I've seen them as low as like 8th in the league. I don't see that. No way. I think Campbell's too good. I think the defensive philosophy is too good, and they coach their players up too well. And then I think Deckers, there's a – Purdy was kind of – I mean, he was really good. But he was also not really good when it mattered in a lot of the games they lost, right? Like, it was kind of on him to make a play, and he couldn't or didn't. And maybe with Deckers just making a couple of extra plays, they win a game or two that they wouldn't have won a year ago or the last 3 years, when it seemed like Purdy was always in position to really take an extra step, and that step ended up being backwards.
He seemed to turn the ball over
exactly when you didn't want him to.
Yeah, couldn't that remind you of?
Yeah, he's a very good player though.
Yeah,
you know that was the weirdness about him, is even in that fan base, there were staunch defenders and staunch critics, and they were both kind of right all at the same time. Wrapping up a Wednesday edition here with what's going on in Cleveland. Deshaun Watson's disciplinary hearing is finally underway. It got underway yesterday. Expected to probably wrap up today. The latest on him, the 24 sexual assault civil suits, 20 of those have been settled, which essentially means he paid 20 of them off. There's no other way to say it. That's what happened. But there's still 4 pending out there, 2 of which are ones that they didn't really know about. So I guess the question is, how long is this suspension going to last? Because I don't think, I mean, first off, we're in total agreement that there is going to be a suspension of Deshaun Watson, right?
I don't see why not. They have to.
Okay, so
they have to.
How long do you think that's going to last?
I think a year, a season is what should happen. I don't know if that will happen. But I think it should be a year.
I think it's going to be a year. I think this season is good. It's going to. I don't know how in the world the NFL can not. It maybe they call it indefinite, as opposed to just putting a timeline on it. Because here's the problem: for any disciplinary action, it's those four cases that are still hanging out there. And what happens there? What I mean, you can't. If you're the NFL, you cannot afford the PR hit that would come with, say, he gets to play week 10 or week. It's a 10-week suspension. Week 11, he's got the Browns high flying, rolling into the playoffs and even further into the playoffs, and then the allegations of what he did come to light. And you're trying to push this guy as kind of the face of the playoffs, the upstart Browns, because you can just hear the stories, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they haven't been here since John Elway crushed their soul a few times in the 80s. And then, boom, here's what happened. Or even worse, here's video of what happened. Or, you know, it's anything. You cannot, not that that's there, but you cannot possibly take that chance if you're the league. And so if you want to call it indefinite, if it ends up being the whole year, I think that's exactly where we're headed. So in that, if that is what happens, if that is the case, what happens with Baker Mayfield?
I don't think he's on the team or part of the franchise when this season starts. I think he will. I honestly got duped yesterday. I thought he was already traded. Something popped on my phone. I realized it was a fake Twitter account, but I think there is real rumblings between Cleveland and Seattle, and I think that's where he's going to go, is Seattle. I think there's a lot of rumblings there because they're trying to figure out how to move him and still get him paid without Cleveland fitting the bill, the entire bill. But I don't think he has moved on. I mean, he was asked this, yesterday? About the Browns, because we're about to talk about Baker and Norman, and he said he's moved on. He's done with them pretty much. So we're not going to see him wear a Browns jersey or orange helmet.
Yeah, I'll have to ask Wyatt, because he was up there at the Baker Mayfield camp catching touchdowns from Baker.
Did he get us an exclusive interview?
Maybe he did. Maybe he was like, "Hey Baker, nice throw, I got you." He was a little high. I went up the ladder to catch it. Don't worry about that.
DK Metcalf can do that,
yeah,
too.
You know, so what are you going to do? Where are you going to get traded? If that's the case, we can't bring Wyatt on here. But if he had like a recording in his pocket of Baker saying that, then we could. That way we could substantiate the claims. Unlike some of the things that happened yesterday in our fine country.
We don't need to go there.
There is one thing we do need to talk about that's happened, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. And it has to do with like some of the stuff. What about the guy, the coach?
The coach.
The coach that the Supreme Court ruled
that
he was allowed to pray by himself after the game.
Well, good for him. It was a correct ruling.
Yes. Not only good for him, good for us all.
Yeah.
Good for us all. A little side note. You know what phrase never actually appears in the Constitution?
What's that?
Separation of church and state. It never actually appears in the Constitution. You know where that came from?
No, where?
I just found this out the other day. That's how it's trivia. A letter that Thomas Jefferson wrote to a Baptist minister in 1803, that's the first recording time. If anybody knows, is somebody using the phrase separation of church and state?
A letter.
In a letter. You know, not the Constitution.
Not the law.
Not the law, just a letter.
Just a letter.
Isn't that interesting?
That is interesting.
A lot of people don't believe us, but it's true.
Oh, boy. Good stuff. I want the full Wyatt story tomorrow?
Well, he doesn't get back till Thursday.
Oh, okay.
So maybe that's Friday's show.
Gotcha.
When we can talk to him and he can tell us where Baker Mayfield's going. Everybody have a great Wednesday.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered.